Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Are you excited to be here tonight? Chris, who are those behind you? Who are those young guys? Where are they from? From Grove. They're from Denamstel. What? Grove. Denamstel. All right. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, tonight we're so grateful. We're grateful every day for our salvation. And we thank you that, Lord, you've brought us together again. The Bible says Jesus always went into the synagogue as his custom was. It's our custom, O God, as your people, to come into your presence on a day like this. We pray that, Lord, you will, from your throne room of grace, you will release even upon our lives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and words of understanding. May we, O God, fight a good warfare with the words and the revelations that are about to come our way. Thank you, everyone who is here. I know we will not leave the same as we came. Holy Spirit, have your way. Affect our lives. In Jesus' name, and somebody said. Amen. Ah, you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. Yeah, no, you can't be that young and then you're so stiff, like, you know, yeah. From Grove. I have to come to Grove. Yeah. Now we are trying to identify those who come here and feel like they don't know who we are. Papi. How are things going on, Papi? It's working. Wonderful. Where Clive E? He's there. And Chrissy is on the left there. Okay. Powerful. Great. We're looking at Matthew chapter 11. I'm preaching on force. Force. Dex Roy. Miracles are happening in Grove. You've been coming. It's good. Keep it up. You have to force. Yeah, you have to force. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, you see, it is something that God wants you and I to know. That the kingdom that you are part of, that kingdom is a kingdom that has had a lot of shakings. That the kingdom of heaven. See, some of you, your Christianity is just cheese and bread kind of Christianity. You are softy ice cream. Yeah. You like things on a silver platter. But in this life, nobody will hand you anything successful on a silver platter. Just as it is in the world, so also it is in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, people think that, you know what, when you become a Christian, things get better. Of course, things get better. But Christianity, you have to even fight more. Yeah. You have to fight. So the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Suffers violence. And the Bible says that it's only the violent. I mean, if you are violent, it means that the police should arrest you, isn't it? Nicholas, isn't it? If you are violent. It means that you, if you are violent, you go into the lockups now and then. Because when you are violent, you do all kinds of things. You're dangerous. This is violent, like you're dangerous for society. So they have to lock you up like Hannibal. And probably even put something on your mouth. Blackson. Because you like to bite people. You're aggressive. You get it. But no. The Bible says that in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, it is rather those that are violent who are able to take things. And the taking of it also comes by force. So instead of thinking that Christianity is something that, you know, is easy things, sometimes we even say that, oh, when I was a Christian, when I was not a Christian, things used to go okay for me. Now, since I became a Christian, it looks as if I've made the wrong decision. Many people make those comments. Yeah. It is because when you became a Christian, you forgot to understand that it is a fight. There's something that you must enforce. You must be forceful. Yeah. Like sometimes when you close from work on a Tuesday, you don't have to go home. If you're going to always want to go home and go freshen up and make your body, your skin feel nice and cream your skin and paint your face and line up and things. By the time you realize you have not come to church, because once you go home, other things will come up. So you have to have a certain mindset when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven does not release anything to us unless we are violently going to pursue it. So when the Bible says it suffereth violence, all that it's saying is that it allows, it permits, it gives in to things and to people who violently want to have something. Hallelujah. Hey, iPad, come on. What's your problem? You know, when things are getting old, they misbehave, isn't it? He doesn't want to come on. Oh, this one, we just throw it away and it comes up. Huh? You hit it against the wall and it comes up. So we're looking at a few things that we have to force about, isn't it? What's the first thing you have? What? Your stand or your position. You have to be forceful about your stand or your position. The Bible says that put on the whole armor of God so that after everything else, you will be able to stand. And he says, stand therefore with your loins girded, isn't it? Oh, Charlie, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that to me. What kind of thing is this? This iPad is going. I'm receiving a new iPad in the name of Jesus. What's number two? Your salvation. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and in trembling. He said, and this is what makes us disprove the theory of once saved, forever saved. Many people say that once you're saved, nothing can change your salvation. It's a very nice way of looking at the power of salvation. But on the contrary, if something is hot and you take it off the fire, you can't expect it to remain hot all the time. So, if you want something to remain hot, you have to keep it hot. You have to keep it on fire. So, when you become saved, to maintain your salvation, there are things you need to do. There's nothing like once saved, forever saved. So I'm saved. So thank you, God, for saving me. And that's it. If you migrate to whatever country, And then you say that, you know what? Oh, when you get to the airport, then you go on your knees. And you say, Lord, thank you for bringing me to this country. You are so good. I'm so excited that you brought me to this nice country. And that's it. No. You have to now force to prosper in a country. You just don't. You see, when you get to the airport, you don't say, oh, this is where I'm going to stay. No, you have to be taken away from the airport. You have to go and stay somewhere. You probably get 1 or 2 days holiday. 1 or 2 days that your relatives will stay home and look after you. On the third day, when Jesus rose up from the dead, you realize that the people will start going to work and then you'll be left in the house alone. You watch TV, you change all the channels. First day, it will be exciting because from one movie to the other, from one soap series to the other, from one comedy to the other, from one cartoon to the other, 1 day, 2 days. Then, when they come back home, you are still watching your Young and Restless. No food cooked, no vacuum cleaning. And then they look at you and say, why? Here, we don't do it like that. You got to find a job. If you don't take it, they'll say, you know what? You have 1 week to find your own place. See whether you change channels again. So, getting into a developed country for green pastures or greener pastures doesn't end there. You have to apply yourself to certain things that will make you prosper. Even sometimes the job you get when you migrate, those jobs don't make you prosperous. You have to get a second job. Sometimes even a third job. Around the clock working so much so that you wouldn't even have time for church. It's the same way, it's the same thing in the kingdom of heaven. That once you become saved, that is like you've entered the airport, you've entered a country. Now you have to make sure that you prosper and you're able to live in a country without any problems. And that is what you must do to maintain your salvation. You must force. Your brother is annoyed. He's annoyed with me today, perhaps. Maybe I should throw it away. This cheap iPads. I should throw it away, right? Take it one. Okay, what's number three? You're waiting? Yes. All right. You must force about your needs. Yeah. The things you need, hey, they don't come. Manna has stopped falling. Yeah. Manna has stopped falling. It's good I have some of the points in my head, though. Because we'll have to close the service right now. My associate pastor decided to desert me. Hey, I leave you to Satan. You. This Demas. Oh, you know the try cry. It was good. When I was sat there, I was even playing with it, trying to tell him to quote me some scriptures. He was quoting me some scriptures. Loyalty, but this is very disloyal. He's on Orangu. Orangu iPad. Alright, so you must force about your needs. Your needs. Luke chapter 11. Your needs. My God shall supply all my needs. It's true. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, it's true. But do I sit down, fold my arms, and the needs are supplied, or I will have to engage myself in something? Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Are you there? What does the Bible say? And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, who answers people at midnight? You see, there's a type of sleep that comes on at midnight. Especially if you sleep the regular time. 8, 9, 10. By midnight, you are on the Linden Highway. So when you go unto your friend at midnight and say unto him, friend, not that thieves have come into my house, or my child or my daughter or my husband or wife is dying, so please, my house on fire, please call 911 for me. Guyana 911. No. He goes to his neighbor in the night and he says unto his friend, lend me 3 tennis rolls. Do you have tennis rolls in your back? First one says that. 3 rolls. Grahams. Pearls. Or bakeware. 3 loaves. At midnight. You gotta be joking. In fact, the moment you hear that it's about bread, you say, bye, well, hello. Is this why you have come to disturb my sleep? For 3 dry loaves of bread? Dry what?
Dry done.
Dry done? What is dry done? That is so the hard one. Dry done. Pastor E, does that work for you? It works for him. Stacy, works for him. Lend me 3 loaves. And then verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. That is not my business. And I have nothing to set before him. Now, if you... No. You can't wake people up from their sleep at midnight. Is that Billy? Billy Solomon? What? Billy, you owe me some money. On your son's ticket to Ghana. You owe me 20 penny weight of gold. Raw. Yeah, I'm waiting. You have a visitor? You don't have anything to set before your visitor? It's my problem. Is it because you are my neighbor, you just disrespect people? You wake people up from their sleep? Just like that? For 3 loaves of bread in his roll? I mean, you can imagine that even if the person doesn't give you, in the morning when they wake up and they see you, they will continue the fight. It's like, what came over you to come and disturb me like that? About what friend, midnight, what kind of friend is this that comes around? Please. And he goes to verse 7. He says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. It's normal. Yeah. The person is not doing anything wrong at all. Teresa, nothing wrong at all. You know, like how when you go home in the night, what you have to do to get inside. You remember? Hey. Because people are sleeping.
They can wake up and come and open. So you have to become a high jumper.
You have to jump like that.
I cannot rise and give thee.
Verse 8.
He said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him. That's what we know. Because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise. And he will give him the loaves of bread. In fact, he will add two extra. And say, you know what? For just disturbing me. The way you've disturbed me. In fact, you've made all my sleep go away. So you get five loaves. You keep the two. And don't come back. I mean, it's okay. So the Bible is teaching us here that if you need something, and many of us have needs that we are so relaxed and we are so quiet about. If you need something, you got to force your way into the need. I don't know where this ignorant system is from, where when a child gets to third form, then they say streaming. They say grade 9, national grade 9 assessment exam. Fine. It's okay. And then they say streaming. I don't know whether it's live streaming, tennis live stream or what, but they say streaming. And then they choose subjects, isn't it? Then they go to fourth form. And then they do their thing. Fourth form, everybody wants their child to go for lessons. So, if you can afford, you try to put your child in a lesson that offers the subjects that your child is studying. Now, when they get to fifth form, at this time of the year, when they have to register for CXE, now they begin to come up with all forms of things. One of them is that we can't sign you up. I don't know where that nonsense is from. I said it's nonsense. Yeah. And all the teachers and the head teachers in this church, you are dealing with nonsense. If the child is not supposed to write the thing, then from form three, when they are streaming for the subject, you should not allow them. Because you cannot allow me to invest in my child, in lessons and in textbooks. And then at fifth form, when he's going to write, you are not coming to bring up all sorts of things. Your duty in the school is not to deny my child, but to facilitate my child. We have taken nonsense for a long time, you know. So, lo and behold, my child, I wanted to write physics. Whether you like it or not, you have to write physics. So, streamed 5 tech. Doing technical subjects with physics inside. But textbooks. One of the textbooks I went to buy from Austin was about 6,500. You know, they've stopped this photocopy thing. It would have been 1,500. At Gifland. I bought this science, whatever, for CXE level, second edition. Even though the teacher was using the first edition. It's like, my daughter and about two or three people were the only ones with second edition. And the teacher says she's using the first edition. So, even that one is, where are the teachers? Mary, stand up. When you were going to school, when you have a second edition, is it not better than first edition?
Yes, it's always better.
The teacher says, no. She's using the first edition. So now the changes that they have changed in the second edition, it's like the first edition, there are parts that are not in the second edition. And therefore, the child is at a disadvantage. She has to go back and find somebody's first edition to do some of the work. So it's almost as if the second edition you've spent money on, the new, is not even useful for your child. Because some teacher somewhere refuses to use the latest edition. Who told you that these things, they modify all the time? Because the things that we are studying, we are not sure. We are trying to make out how God has done things. We are not sure all the time. So there's always something that is coming new. So the teacher is saying that she won't sign my child for physics. me, my child. So, because they do that. And they say, oh, go and write it private. Private? Private? Me got no contract with no private. I got contract with public. Me got no private contract. Must write right here.
I went to the school. My wife went first. I was not in the country. She went, I don't, she went to smile there and then she left. Because when I went, they said, oh, but her mother came here. I said, Father has come. I is come. Yeah, when I is come, I got to get what I want.
So, I went to talk to what? What's the head teacher I wanted to speak to or something like that? The first day. And then there was something, and then I went again. When I saw the physics teacher, and I went to her and I was trying to talk to her. He said, oh, how can she sign my child when she's not doing so well? I said, sweetie, I pay. You have subsidy things that you fail. I is a rich man. Me don't know government nothing. I don't pay. When they say voucher, I say, I don't need government to buy a uniform for my child. I'm not a poor man. I buy a uniform myself. All those things. I don't need it. 10,000 because we care. They don't care about nobody. I don't need nobody's 10,000. Since I started my children, I gave birth to them. God has helped me. Isn't now that you're going to give me a voucher?
Yeah.
I don't need no voucher. I've never taken no voucher. I never take any voucher. By the grace of God Almighty. So as we were talking, I said, no, you have to sign it up. Because, I said, but she's not doing my work. And all of us said, which work? If she's not doing your work, let's talk about that work. Let's fix it. This, she said, no. I'm sorry for you. Mary, is that how you people behave in a school? You, the teacher, you sorry for me? And I hear the teacher lives somewhere around Fremont Street, somewhere further there. So I said, maybe this person knows about me. That's why she's trying to play like that. She's sorry for me. What has signing my child for faces got to do with sorry for me? Am I a beggar? Did I come to beg you for food, money to buy food? What kind of nonsense is that? So I realized that she's an ignorant teacher. I can't talk with her. I went to the head teacher. I said, sir, you got to sign for me data. You got to sign sure. You got to sign sure. And I said, you see, we Guyanese, we like people to bark like dogs. No, Guyanese don't like quiet things, you know. You got to open your mouth. Then they listen to you. So the former headmistress was around. She's around. And she came and said, sign up the girl, not sign she up, man. Sign she up. I said, listen to her. Listen to her. Sign she up. By the time I left there, she was signed up. If you need something, you got a force. You got a force. You see, because I cannot now go and register her in another private school or something. And then now she writes one paper here and she writes another paper there. And up. Even the lessons is all confusing. The lessons and all of that. It's so crazy a system. You sign up. Ah, you say, I'm inside. My door is shut. I cannot. You cannot? You got to wake up and give me my 3 loaves of bread. Yeah. No, I don't joke. Now, I went to Republic Bank to pay the fee they say you should pay. So, I went to the ATM first. And when there were people there, so I was standing. Water Street. I don't normally go there. The place is too crowded. I don't go to those places. But this, I don't know how I ended up there. So, I was there. Then the security guy comes and says, I should move and go to the wall of the building. These people,
You see, the machine is here, right? So you queue up to go in. So people were just scattered around. So I went, I also stood like that. He said that we should go and we should line up next to the wall like that. I opened my mouth. I said, you come to control me here on the road also? I can't stand where I want to stand? What does this have? What is this thing? I can't stand where I want to stand? That one, you have to come and tell me where I must stand? Outside the building, you have to come and tell me where I must stand? The people were looking at me. I said, that's how we like. We like people to open their mouths. I have not come to you to even ask you for something. I'm going to. What? Don't come and control you. What kind of thing is this? No, you have to force. We are too nice as Guyanese. People treat us. That's why when you go to a place, it is never. You see, you must travel and see. This musical chairs thing that you do, you take a number and you sit down. Now you go, you move to the next seat. Now you go to the next seat. By the time you get to see the customer service agent, oh boy. I don't know what will happen when it's my time to renew my passport. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will happen. I'll go straight into the building. I tell you. Somebody got. You must force. Tell to somebody and say, you must force. So when you need something, you have to force about it. You see, sometimes when people say no, you must ask, why? Why no? Don't say you can't. So, okay. No. Say why? Yeah. You see, and I bet you, try this thing I'm telling you. When you go somewhere and then somebody tells you no, you can't get through, go again to somebody else. You'll be surprised how you get through. Yeah. Don't let people tell you no and then that is it. If you call somewhere and then you ask somebody, they say no. Good. Wait another half an hour and call again and ask. They'll tell you a complete different thing. Yeah. You see, they were trying to. Who was that? I think GTNT also. I called them and I there was something. I said that they asked for my opinion because when I asked them, I think it was this telephone online bill or something, and I was asking them something. I was asking them why can they not do it or so, and so they sent me an email for I don't know whether because of that they targeted me to do a survey for them. I didn't mind them. They sent me emails until I got bored. You when you offer service, you must offer complete service. Like if you offer us internet banking, tell me what kind of internet banking is that. You can't move money to somebody else's account on the internet. You can't. So what is internet banking? You can only pay GPL or pay DTNT and or Gaiwa. Those people who must get your money. But if I want to move money to Pastor Isan's account, I can't do it.
The number is 34.
It doesn't work. I don't know. Yeah. It's fantastic. I went to Scotiabank the other day. I've always been wondering why they have gold customers. Have you seen that sign? I wonder whether there are people who carry gold. When I see the people who go there and I look at myself, I say, there's no difference. I don't see them carrying no
So the other day, I went straight. I'm a gold customer too. I got through fast. Yeah. In fact, the lady was saying, "Oh, we don't see you here." I said, "Because I don't come here. I'm new." You need something, ladies and gentlemen, you must force about it. Must force about it. Must force. Force. Papi, must force. I went to one of our church members, you know, again, this signing up business that, you know, I don't see the sense in it. They don't want to sign her up. So I went to the school. I said, "What's going on here? How can a child come through this school, faith form, and you say you won't sign her up?" I mean, think about it. Are teachers there to help our children or to deny them? Why, you teachers, Pastor Issa and Stacey, why are you in the school? Are you there to give us trouble, or you're supposed to, with, together with our help, facilitate our children to become better people?
We're supposed to be facilitators to help
them. Yeah, but not say that I will not sign your child up. If my child will get grade 84, it's okay. It's my child. It's the child's future. Don't put your reputation at stake. Because you are teaching integrated science, you want all your students to get a grade 1 pass. And therefore, the ones who don't look like they can pass, get a 3, those are, I won't sign them up. Whose reputation? Whose interest? Who are you paying? Don't we pay you because of the children you are teaching? After 5 years, people pass through and they don't have anywhere to sign. Their parents don't have money to take them to write private. So they go through the school, no CXE. And then we are in this country, say, we want to help young people. Is that how we help young people? By denying them from writing the subjects that they want to write? When people write 20 subjects, 15 subjects, 18 subjects, and your child cannot even write 5 subjects. That's what they did to the young girl. I was bored when she came and told me that they signed her up for only 4 subjects. Who writes 4 subjects? Well, why are you going with 4 subjects? You have to force. You have to go to the school and open your mouth. Otherwise, the people, they don't understand what they're doing. They are ministry. Ministry what? Ministry means service. Ministry means servant. The ministry is for us. You did grade 9 exams. There you should have told my child, you can't write this way. Then we know. Don't let tech come at this time. Then you say, I am not signing. Who is you? Who is you? And I'm paying the thing on top of it. I'm paying lots of money for how many subjects? I once I'm paying, I must get what I want. I must get what I want once I'm paying. But listen, don't do that to the children. No. Even if they will get grade 8, please let them write. Let them write. Because they've gotten to fit. For, what are you going to do to them now? You need some brush up. You see, you teachers, all the teachers, why are the teachers? You should stand up. If you're a teacher here, stand up. Teachers, if you're a teacher, teachers, where's Dion? Where's Dion? She didn't come. Where's Dion? What a shock. Okay. Now, you must be different teachers. I will expect that you as teachers, as Christian teachers, will even do extra lessons in the school free for the children. What's the difference between a Christian teacher and an unbelieving teacher? Why can't Pastor Isan, if you teach an examination class, faith form, why don't you ask them to come at 7:30, do 1 hour with them? Saturday, pushing 1 hour for them. That is the only difference that a Christian teacher can show from an unbelieving teacher. Because the unbelievers, 8 to 5, they finish, they go. They do extra. Yes. What's the difference? What's the difference? And your man of God, of you, Sunday you come here, you preach, you say you're a pastor. How can people's children pass exams if we don't invest in them? It's not the same thing we're doing here in the church. Investing in young people. So integrated science, it's not a very simple subject. I'm sure many people try to run away. If they're spelling crocodile and they forget the L-E, please add the L-E and mark them. Oh, they say the crocodile, they spell with the K. K-R-Croc. It's okay. You change it to C and mark them. Yeah. But you must be a Christian teacher. Not K and C. It's not a problem. Because sometimes it's K, sometimes it's C. It's just a K-R-O. They say, okay, you know what? Let me just facilitate this child. Yeah. No, facilitate them. The children who are difficult in the class, it's only the Christian teachers who can deal with them. In fact, I think all of you should go to St. George's. That's the best school to test your Christian skills. Yeah. David Rose, Ascension. Uh-huh. We must have more Christian teachers there. So that they can bring their children from nothing to something to show that when you have a Christian teacher in the school, it changes everything. You must have something like that. Why not? We want to be in the top schools. They're already established anyway. What difference do you really make as a Christian teacher? I would do that. I would take them. That's what they used to do to us in school. I had a chemistry teacher. He teaches well when he's drunk. Yeah. And when he's drunk, no matter the time of day, you go to class. In the night. Oh. The guy was a brainer. But he only teaches when he's drunk. So because we're in the boarding school, sometimes 10 p.m., you see him coming. That. You will have to go to class and be careful of what he teaches at those moments. He was an examiner. He brings out all the questions that they are setting. He brings all of them out. Whether he forgets or is intentional, I don't know. Yeah, especially during the times, the examination, O-level time, and he calls for extra classes, you don't go. You go for practicals. He takes you to the lab and he gives you the substance of what you must test for. Hey, you think he's drunk. He's drunk, yes. You go into the examination, you open the paper and you look at him like that. You look at the paper and say, what? He's wild. He teaches best when he's drunk. And he'll do off. They keep us in school. When it's vacation, they keep us and they teach us. No money. It's just after the exams that, you know, we put things together. We say, you know, this teacher has really been a blessing to us. Then we give some, like an offering. We give to them. We say, thank you for. That's what they will do to us. Oh, is that not what Christianity is about? But to say that you will not sign somebody up. Let us not help this crooked system to make children not rise up and become what they want to become. Because that's what we are doing here. All these young people are here. I don't know who they are. Where? What are they doing in their lives? Stand up. Thank you, teachers. Well, stand up. All of you, stand up. Well, who are you? What do you do? How old are you?
15.
What do you do?
School.
School? Which school?
TI.
TI. You go to TI. What are you doing?
Learn a trade.
Sorry?
Learn a trade.
You're learning a trade. Ah, what kind of trade?
Why, y'all? Wire house.
What?
Wire house.
Wire house. Is there a course like wire house at TI? So, Professor, is it not this kind of people we have to help? He's learning a trade at TI to wire house. Yeah, he's serious. You're from Grove. Okay, thank you. How old are you?
16.
And what do you do?
Go to Stan Secondary School.
Who's done secondary school? Fifth form?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many subjects are you writing? How many subjects are you writing?
Staying back.
You stay back? Why? Same thing I'm talking about, right? Because we don't have Christian teachers to facilitate these slow, tortoise-like minded people. If he stays back, it gets to a point where he's not interested. He doesn't go to school anymore. That's the end. All he needs is a goatee and a taxi. And he drives like a madman on the road. Thank you. Yes, I know this friend. What's his name again?
Shamar.
Shamar, yeah. How old are you?
15.
50, what do you do?
Nothing.
Nothing! Nothing. What, you stopped school? You stopped, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have Christian teachers, Pastor Isan. Who will probably go home and say, hey, why are you not coming to school? Because you, man, thank you. Thank you. What's that? That's Banner. Banner, hey, you, stand up. Yeah, don't be disrespectful. Get up. How old are you?
15.
What do you do?
Nothing.
Aha! That's why you will sit down like that. Thank you very much. What's your name again?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Look at such a nice name. Yes, my friend.
Daniel.
Daniel. How old are you?
17.
What do you do?
It's a porter.
You're a porter. Hey, you're laughing. You. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet, please. Look at who is laughing at who. Help me, Jesus. The Shama who is not doing anything is laughing somebody who is a porter. Like he is higher. He has a job. You earn some money, isn't it? You earn some money, isn't it? They pay you, right?
Yeah.
Shama, do you work? Bye. You need a knock on your head, bye. Understand what I'm trying to say. These guys just don't end up doing nothing. It's just there's something about a teacher or a school that didn't really look after their interests. Charlie, we have to fight for our needs, though. Fight for our needs. And I'm sure parents, guardians, they enable. If you look at Shama, the way he's laughing at somebody, you will not follow him anywhere. Yeah, because he's a big man. Is that Grove? I'd like to meet them at a point. Okay. I'd like to meet them. Yeah. We are interested in you. We are interested in you. Okay. We are interested in you. We want to help you to become somebody in this life. Yeah. He gave it freely, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. And freely you gave it all.
Yeah. King, you rescue the world. This is our God.
Let's sing it one more time. He gave it freely, and freely you gave
it all for us. Surrendered your life upon the cross. Great is your love, bought out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Seven and King, rescue the world. This is our God.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough, more than I need.
Come on, sing it. Sing it from the bottom of your heart.
At your word I will believe. I'll wait for you. Draw near again. Let your spirit make me new.
Great is your love,
pour out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Servant and King, rescue the world. This is our God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, tonight, thank you. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for showing us. We have not been receiving what you have been giving to us. Not because you are not a good father to us, but because we have not been forcing about it. Thank you for that spirit that has come upon us from tonight. Nothing that is ours can pass us by. Nothing that, Lord, belongs to us can be taken away by anybody, because we are shamelessly persisting in the blessings you have released upon our lives. I thank you for the hands that are holding on to our businesses and our properties and our affairs. Those hands have been cut off now in the name of Jesus. And all those that have been holding on to the destiny, to the goodness, to the prosperity, and to the wealth of your people, I thank you that those hands are bound in chains tonight. The blessings for your people is released now. The blessings for your children have been released now. Bible says, whatever I lose on earth, I'll be loose in heaven. I lose the blessings upon your people. I lose the blessings upon your people. I lose blessings upon your people.
their wealth, their prosperity, their breakthroughs, Lord. I release it. I loosen them up tonight upon the life of your people. And let them receive what belongs to them tonight in the name of Jesus.
It's yours. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the testimonies, oh God. Let us testify that great is our God. Let us bring the sacrifice of praise into your house. For great is our God, and is greatly to be praised. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You are here tonight. You don't know Jesus. You are not saved. You are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are here like that while every eye is closed, every eye closed, every head bowed. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again tonight. If you are here and you know if you were to die right now, you will not make it to heaven. You need to give your heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, I'm not sure where I would go if I die right now, but I want to go to heaven when I die. Pastor, please pray for me. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand above your head so I can see it, and I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see all those hands. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand and you are serious, I want to ask you to come to me. I want to pray for you right here in front. Come. Walk to me here. I want to pray for you. Come to me. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Come. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus. Oh, clap for them. God bless you. God bless you. Come, join them. Join them. Join them tonight. It's a night of salvation. Come to Jesus. If you are coming, come quickly. If you know, if you are to die right now, you will not make it to heaven. Jesus is calling you tonight. Your eyes with me, and those in front, I want you to pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. You see, the Bible says that if you only believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, then you will be saved. It is an assurance. As long as you believe it and you say it, God is going to forgive you of all your sins. He's going to come into your heart when you invite Him. He's going to come and change your life completely. So pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From tonight, I confess Jesus as my personal savior. And I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.